I want you to. Let's all of us do something together today. You and I have been given the opportunity and the task of planning a wedding. Have you had another one lately? You forgot probably what's all involved in planning a wedding. So all of us are wedding organizers for the next few moments. The wedding is 6 months from today. Now there's some things we have inside. What about the place? Well, you and I can travel to different places. We can go to the chapel by the sea, a pretty place in the mountain. We can go to your backyard. But all of us decide there's probably no better place to have a beautiful wedding than here in our sanctuary. So we book the date. Then we got to decide a preacher, all right? We don't want to judge. We don't want the justice of the peace. And so we try to think of the right preacher. And since he's not here, we'll assign it to him. We'll let Wild Bill Ellison come in and do the wedding, all right? He's the only preacher that not a hair will be out of place when he comes, all right? So we book it. We line him up 6 months from the day. We got the place. We got the preacher. Now here comes all the plan. It's up to us to pick out the wedding gown. Well, do you realize and discover at the Marina Morrison shop in San Francisco, they have an Italian silk wedding dress that is $2,000. But greater than that, listen, or you can get a French silk for $3,000. We're spending somebody else's money, so we'll go with the $3,000, all right? We got 10,000 women on our wedding. We'll go pick out the veil. We'll pick out the shoes. We'll order the flowers, we'll line up the pictures, we'll do everything that needs to be done. We'll set aside our fellowship hall for the rehearsal, supper, and the reception afterwards, and so we've got everything ready. We go purchase rings, and then we're ready to go. We've done a great job. You and I sit back, we're very proud. Days click off, and finally we come to the wedding. You and I gather in the sanctuary. It's the wedding day. The church is all decorated. The flowers are absolutely beautiful. The fellowship hall has been decorated amazingly. You can't even recognize the place. Everything is good. The groom comes out, looks great in his tux. Oh, he just looks absolutely wonderful. We're so proud of him. The preacher comes out. Well, he'll do. It's all he can do. He'll come out, stand here, and the preacher and the groom stand right here. The music begins. Absolutely wonderful. The back doors of the sanctuary open, and the preacher and the groom look toward what is supposed to be the most beautiful person they've ever seen in their life. In that $3,000 silk Italian dress that you and I have purchased. But something's wrong. When you look at the back door, she decided she didn't like the dress. So did she decide what she was going to wear is a t-shirt and blue jeans. She's done a mud facial to her face and half of the mud is still on. And the groom stands up here and he says, "That's not the bride I was looking for. That's not the bride that I expected to see coming down that aisle." Do you understand, church, you and I, by the bride of Christ? We are his bride. And I've got news for you. He spent more than $10,000 on us. He laid his very life down for us that we may know him in a personal way. And I believe that the Lord in heaven sits with tears flowing down his face and he says, "That's not the bride that I thought my bride ought to be." You realize there's coming a day, bless God, and the music's going to sound. It's not going to be an orchestra. It's not going to be a whole band. It's not going to be anything but one trumpet. And the trumpet's going to sound, and guess what? He's going to call his bride away. Amen. Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
God, listen. While we're so dead, Jesus is coming. While we're so dead, there's a better life than this. While we're so dead, is Jesus looking for. In Philippians chapter 2, he never calls out the word bride. But Paul, writing from the prison cell to the church of Philippi, tells them what kind of bride Jesus really needs. And in that application there, we discover some things about being the bride of Christ. What kind of bride does he want? How does he require us to live as his bride? What does he tell us? Let's notice several things. Verse 13. The first thing we've got to understand is that the Lord shares with us through Paul what the bride's work is all about. God is not looking for a lazy bride. Let me say it again. God's not looking for a lazy bride. He's looking for a bride that's not ashamed to roll up her sleeves and work for him. Amen. Did you notice what Paul told those Christians? Here's what he said. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. That God is working means that he's energizing us every day for our daily tasks. A person that doesn't work don't need any energy. And so he's telling us that guess what? You get up and do what you're supposed to do. You get up and teach and I'll give you what you need. You get up and sing and I'll give you what you need. You get up and go out there and witness and I'll give you what you need. Guess what? The Lord gives us every day what we need. He's working in us. He's working in us. It's not that he has worked or that he will work. Aren't you glad that Christ works in us right now? Right now, we can draw from his unlimited power and resources, and we can do everything he wants us to do. It's God's work and our work. It is God's work and our work. And what's happened now is the bride of Christ has sat back and said, oh God, would you bless us? And we don't do anything for God. And why should God bless a group of folks who do nothing for him? Amen. Some of you, all of you, everybody in this building should have been there yesterday afternoon feeding those homeless. For I'll tell you one thing. It would cause you when you went back home and sat down in your recliner and grabbed that remote control to realize how blessed you really were. Amen. Yes. Amen. And when you walk in the refrigerator that's full of food and get out a snack, well, guess what? A snack to them is a meal. Yep. Yeah. You realize, church, I think sometimes we have got so lazy to the concept that God's going to do it all and we don't have to do anything. Guess what? God paid the price that we might be his child. And therefore, since he paid the price that we might be his child, then he expects us to work for him.
Amen.
He's working in us. The bride's work. Can't you see? God gives us what we need every time we get out here and do something for him. He's working in us. But then he tells us how he wants us to do it. Verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputings.
Amen.
Now, unless you understand, like Brother Butch said yesterday, the homeless, unless you really understand the word all, you forget what he's talking about. He said, do all things. All things. Everything we do without first, without what? With work uncomplaining. Without murmuring. You know what he's talking about? You know what he's talking about? He's talking about don't go around grumbling all the time. lips poked out. Nothing's ever right. Nobody does anything good in your life. Nothing's good at home. Nothing's good at school. There's nothing good at work. There's nothing good at church. And you run around all the time absolutely miserable. And I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to miss life because you're going to turn around and your life will be gone. If you always look for the bad, that's what you're going to find. If you always look for the negative, that's what you're going to find. If you look for the positive things God is doing, you're going to find some positive things. He doesn't want a bride who grumbles and gripes all the time. Now let's be honest with you. I'm going to see how much debt she got. How many of you have married to a grumbling, griping woman? Raise your hand. That's what I thought. You're smart enough. Now let me ask you this, women. How many of you are married to a grumbling, griping man? So Jane. Singing man. We all got a ministry. Quick.
You know what amazing thing is? Some folks, you can ask them, pick up a piece of paper, and here's what they say. I didn't put it down there. Who cares who put it on the floor? Somebody got to pick it up. Now, let me say this. Most of the time, the reason we complain about things is because we feel guilty because we're not doing anything ourselves, and so we want to point the finger at somebody else. Amen, Ron. That's good preaching. Isn't it amazing that people complain the loudest of those that never do anything? I think there ought to be a rule in the church. If you never do anything in the church, never do anything for God, never bend a finger to help through the mankind, you don't have a right to say one thing in the life of the church. Now, I know that's not popular, but that's the truth. We complain. God's sick and tired of us complaining about members. We're part of the same family, about our mission. And I know you complain about the ministry. I know that. I preach too loud, too long, don't do just everything to please everybody. I'm not perfect, didn't claim to be perfect when I came here. And guess what? I won't be perfect the day I die. But I'm going to go ahead and say this. If God hadn't called you to preach, don't ever try to tell a preacher how to preach. If God's called you to preach, come on up here, big boy, and try. It's harder to do than you think it is. And then, you know, one last thing is God gets, now here's what God's going to get sick about. We complain about the master. We complain. God can't please us. How many of us are comfortable and happy with the weather all the time? It's too hot. It's too cold. We don't have enough rain. We need more rain. God can't please us. Do you not think God gets tired of that? Would you not get tired of coming home every night to a room, rocker, and nothing's right, nothing's good, nothing's happy? Do you not think God gets tired of his people when he's laid down his life for them complaining all the time? Let me tell you this, bottom line. Stop your complaining and look at the good things God is doing.
Amen.
When you've got a headache, there's somebody sitting across the building that really don't need to be here because of other problems. We've got some folks in this building that push themselves to come into this building. And I'm not tooting anybody's horn, but I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it lovingly and caringly as I can. I admire a lot of people who push themselves to come to the Lord's house so they don't feel like it. But I admire Lisa Boggs over here more than anybody.
Amen.
Lisa don't feel like being here today. But you know why he's here? This is where he wants to be.
Amen.
And he's standing back there at the door, why don't you talk to me? I'm having a rough time. I don't feel good. But here's what he said. The Lord's going to take care of it. If you believe that the Lord can take care of all things, can you say amen?
Amen.
Quit complaining. Be thankful for what you have. He said he's looking for a bride who's working uncomplainingly. He said, I'm looking for a bride who's working uncontentiously. Disputing. Now here's what this is. Murmurings is like fuel to a fire. It spreads, and then it rages, and the fire breaks out. Some people would rather fight than anything else. There are some folks live to see the church in turmoil. And they run around trying their very best to keep trouble stirred up all the time. All the time. Listen, church. I'm too old to fight. You're too old to fight. And it's too childish to fight anyway. He's looking for a bride who's not constantly fussing and fighting and grumbling and grinding. And the worst thing that can ever be said about Cedar Grove Church is this right here. That church, all they do is fuss and fight with one another. Who in God's name wants to come to a place where it's known as fussing and fighting all the time? If there's fussing and fighting in your house, do you want to go home? Honestly, if you know when you open that door, on the other end of that door, It's going to be somebody that's not going to like anything about you. And you've had a terrible day. Do you want to go home? Can I tell you something what we are? We got a bunch of folks in our church and our community that's absolutely in misery today, and they're absolutely hurting, and they want somebody to help them, and they want a place to call home. And I tell you what they're looking for is somebody to put their arms around them and love them and not talk about how they dress and how they smell and the beverages they drink and the drugs they take. Guess what? We give them to Jesus, and Jesus gets in their heart that he'll take care of the beverages they drink and the drugs they take. That's right. And who cares if they've got red hair or green hair or blue hair? Who cares? We ain't going after the hair. We're going after the heart. And those of you who fuss about the green hair, the red hair, oh, I know what it is. You're just jealous because you don't have any hair. Church ought to be fun, where we come together and where the bride of Christ comes and prepares for the great wedding day that's coming, and we come here and say, what can I do to help you, and what can I do to help you, and how can I encourage you, and what are we going to do about the neighbor down the street that their power has been cut off? What are we going to do? That's what church is about. It's not about sitting and saying, did you see what they wore? They didn't speak to me in the hallway. Oh, listen to me very carefully. We can be so childish, and I think the bridegroom in heaven is weeping his eyes out at how childish we really are. I'm not just talking about City Road. I'm talking about the church in general.
Amen.
I'm not just talking about us. Don't think I'm picking on us. When I say church, I'm not talking about the element of City Road. Guess what? The church is the entire body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what if somebody does more in church than you? So what? We don't care who does the work as long as the work gets done. We're going to have some help after a while. Because Harold Hobbs done found his way up the balcony. He won't ever get back. Harold, what are you doing off up there? The Lord talks about the bride's work. The second thing is, the Lord talks about the bride's walk. Look at verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. There's a certain way that God wants the bride of his to walk. Our lives are transparent, whether we will them be or not. He wants us to walk in a way that will not bring disgrace upon him. Now let me say this on the fourth set. It's a reason to walk. People say, I can't walk with the Lord. I just can't walk the way he wants me to walk. And I can't live like he wants me to live. You can if you choose to do so.
Amen.
I just can't be faithful in church. And I just can't give my money to church. And I just can't seem to pray. I just can't seem to read my Bible. You can when you choose to do so. It's amazing to me that the people who say they can't be faithful in church are the very ones that you see everywhere else but the church. And by the way, a shut-in in the life of the church is a shut-in who physically cannot get out and go and do. If we have to go to Walmart to visit our shut-ins, there's something wrong. You can do what you choose to do. That's right. If I choose when I get done today to go somewhere to eat and eat me a whole homemade banana pudding, that's my choice, my choice. But I'll tell you what, if I choose to do that, you don't want to listen to me grumble about it all afternoon. I don't call you and text you and say, you know what, my belly's hurting. You know what you'd say? It ought to hurt. It's a reason to walk, and he gives us strength. Here's what he said in this walk. He said, you ought to be blameless. We should live like no one can point their finger at us and say, you're wild, not Christian. blameless. He said to be unmixed, harmless. You know what that means? Don't mix yourself up with the things of the world. Harmless here is the same word that's used for wine that has not been diluted. Harmless here is the same Greek word used for steel that was not in any way been weakened. So here's what he's saying to do. Be consistent in your living. What you live in the sanctuary is the same life that you live in the Walmart and in the ball stadiums and the workplaces of our community. Amen. Now I will tell you, if you don't, God gets you. God gets you. God gets you. Here's what he said. Keep the secret chambers of your heart clean. He said, I'm looking for an unmixed bride. Unmixed. He says, an unblemished without rebuke. People say, one of these days I'm going to be the son of God, sons of God. No, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the day you accepted Christ, you became the sons of God. I don't know what you're waiting on. If we're saved, we are his children. But then as his children, we've got to be different from the children of the devil. We've got to live different kind of lifestyles. You know what's sad? You can't tell a difference sometime than a Christian and a lost man. Now, I will say this to those of us who were homeless. I think y'all might agree yesterday, and y'all might agree with me, you might not. I didn't know when the guys on the motorcycles came riding up whether to run or what to do. They come upon them hearts. When they had their leather vests and had their knives and their pouches and all this kind of stuff, I thought, I'm too old to fight, and I don't think I'm going to fight. I thought, my boy. They had all the nicknames on there. You know some of the nicknames? Fat Boy and all this kind of stuff. But you know what amazed me is? When you talk to them, they knew the same Jesus that I am.
Amen.
We judge people so many times by their outward appearance. It's not the outward appearance that matters. It's what's in the heart, the big thing. Brother Butch back there and myself, when he was talking to the woman, this fat boy, and he was asking, well, where does your funds come from? How do y'all do this? Because he said he'd been doing that for 12 years. 12 years. Going to that same place every Saturday on the bikes. And he says, God, he said, and his word was Jesus. That's all he'd answer our questions. Jesus. 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 Can I remind you of that? All some of us really have is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. God's looking for brides different. Man, when you were looking, was you not looking for a bride that was different, that stood out, that jumped off the page at you? Yeah. The Lord's the same way. He said also to be undimmed too in the midst of the crooked, perverse nations, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The Philippians lived in a crooked and perverse world. Can you imagine? It was a despised generation. Can you imagine what some of the people in the church at Philippi would think if they come here today? In a day that's dark, the prey dismal, God needs some lights that will shine for him. We are his. If somebody needs to know which way to go in the dark, you should be their light.